What is up, my dudes, and welcome to the best things about pro wrestling this month. The show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month. Whether it's a match, segment, character development, or anything between, this is the show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling in any particular month. I'm Armor, the same host that has a special message from AEW's Tony Schiavone for folks that wants to get it on.
Lick that pussy. Lick that pussy. Lick that pussy good. Sean Kane. Lick that pussy. Lick that pussy. Lick that pussy good. Motherfucker.
So yeah, before we get into the show, let's just get the honorable mentions out of the way. So follow me on Twitter at, that site is going to implode any day now. So just follow me on Twitter at Armor the Player Guy. Follow me on, speaking of which, follow me on that new, I think, Instagram competitor to Twitter, which is Threads. So just follow me on that at Best Things About Pro Wrestling This Month. Just follow me all in the social medias, just Best Things About Pro Wrestling This Month. And if you kindly to do so, just hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're on like a few of them so far. So let's just hit to at least 5. You know what I mean? 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, you know. I don't need 3, I need 5, to quote Big E. So just hit that 5 stars on podcast, because that would hit to the algorithm. And yeah, so that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So yeah, before we get into the show and we got the housekeeping out of the way, let's just, 2 things. Number one, let's talk about Money in the Bank that happened last week and the Eddie Kingston win, which was, by the way, let's just talk about the Eddie Kingston win out of the way. I think him winning that title in New Japan, the New Japan champion, I think it's great. Not the IWGP title, obviously, but the fact that Eddie Kingston won a title and the way he, it felt like he won the big thing. The big gold, but he didn't. It felt like he won the IWGP heavyweight title, but it didn't. But it felt like it, because that's who Eddie Kingston is. Like, he can make anything that turns into nothing, I mean something, into like something grandeur. And I think that's what makes Eddie Kingston such a compelling, compelling storyteller, in my opinion, is that he can just turn anything into just gold. And I think that's what AEW, in my opinion, has kind of fumbled the bag on Eddie Kingston, in my opinion, because you know that's what makes him great. Because they could, I mean, they've utilized it in the past, especially between his storyline with Jon Moxley thing a few years ago for the AEW World Title, which, by the way, is my favorite storyline ever. That Full Gear build was just, you know, to quote Martin Scorsese, this is cinema right there. That was peak fiction. So yeah, I think Eddie Kingston winning the title at the opening strong style, I think was great. So shout out to him. That was a great moment. The way he said it was great. So the way he told that he won the title was great. So shout out to Eddie Kingston. That was great stuff. But yeah, I was gonna say, before we're gonna get into the show, I was going to talk about Eddie Kingston, which I did just now, but also let's talk about let's just give a retrospective of what happened in 2023 in professional wrestling. So just a quick retrospective so far, since we're basically half of the year done and we have other half of the year away. So let's just do that for a second. 2023, in my opinion, had the highs, you know what I mean? WrestleMania 39 night one, you know, the debut of Mercedes Moné, you know, we have, you know, Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega part one and two, the two matches, what else? It was a great year, right? But there was a lot of lows too, you know? The Raw after WrestleMania 39, horrendous show. I thought the build for AEW Revolution 2023, in my opinion, it was piss poor, right? You know, there was a lot of lows, is what I'm trying to say. It was a lot of lows. But still, the women's division between both shows have been not as good. Both brands, AEW and WWE, they're just really not as good they're just not as good as what it should be, especially the talent that is there, you know what I mean? But speaking of women, ROH, the sister brand to AEW, Athena's doing great stuff. I think she's doing the best work she's ever done in that brand, and I think she's trying, I feel like they're trying to do the wrongs that she's done in AEW, because I feel like her run AEW, the main show so far, has been really, really piss poor. So the fact that she went to Ring of Honor and just just killed it so far, having the best run of her life since I would say her days in NXT as Ember Moon. Goes to show you that she's killing it so far. But yeah, I would say as a whole, there's been a lot of highs, there's been a lot of lows, like any year, but this was especially that. You know what I mean? There was big highs and big lows and nothing in between. So yeah, that's how I felt about pro wrestling the year 2023 so far. I mean, my highlight for me personally was the Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay matches and Trinity her debut in Impact Wrestling. To me, those are, and Mercedes Money's debut, speaking of which, in New Japan. I thought those are like my three personal highlights, and then the other one would be WrestleMania 39 Night 1. And oh yeah, I forgot the Bloodline Saga, man. Like, that has kicked a huge gear in especially this year. It was already kicking like last year and the year before, but this was what, in my opinion, was at its highest peak. Royal Rumble 2023 had probably the best ending in professional wrestling in quite some time, to any pay-per-view in quite some time, and that was because of that storyline. It is probably the best storyline this company has ever done in like the past few years now. I'd say Kofi Mania, it hasn't been since Kofi Mania that this storyline has touched me in a certain way that I was like, damn, it's you know, to quote again Martin Scorsese, This is cinema. It's just peak fiction. And I think they've done a great job. And so shout out to, especially Triple H's run with the company now, his creative run. I think he has enhanced that storyline, despite the fact that it started way, way before him, all the way back during the pandemic era show, which is wild. Like, think about this. Roman Reigns' run started in SummerSlam 2020 when he returned. Back when there was no people showing up. Back when there was still, you know, back then when no fan was allowed to be on those shows for COVID restriction purposes, right? So the fact that he's been the champion for that long, for the past 3 years, it's wild. Like, it's like if Stone Cold, well, not Stone Cold, but let's see, who was the champion in the year 2000? The Rock, right? It's like if The Rock was the WWE champion in the year 2000, and he had that title to 2003, when the brand split showed up, when guys like Brock Lesnar and, you know, Randy Orton, John Cena, Batista showed up, you know what I mean? You know, those crop of guys, the brand split happened. Like, the year 2000, at least the roster-wise, is completely different from the year 2023. So that goes to show you how long Roman Reigns has been doing this for quite some time. So shout out to him. It's just shout out to the guy, especially Sami Zayn, the Usos, and, you know, Solo Sikoa, all of you, Paul Heyman, all of y'all, just great stuff. And the creative team, obviously, so great, 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 great stuff. So yeah, let's get into Money in the Bank 2023, since, you know, it already happened, and, you know, it's bits of July anyway, so let's just get into Money in the Bank 2023. So the opening match between the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, first, let's just get to the show, my thoughts on the show out of the way. I thought it was a great show, very enjoyable show, but it's one of those shows where, like, I like this, but I could have done it differently. And I think that's how I felt about this show. It's one of those, like, great show, but could have done it differently. And a great example would be is the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Unfortunately, that guy with the guy who came all the way from Belgium to see LA Knight win, you just came out like a few hundred miles, that freaking song, but you just showed up, you just came hours from where you lived, from a country that, in my opinion, is not a country in Belgium. Belgium doesn't exist. So you came all the way there just to see LA Knight lose. Yeah, that just sucks, you know what I mean? He said that he wanted LA Knight to win, but that, I feel bad for that Belgium guy. I mean, I should feel bad for him because he's from Belgium anyway. So that's a different point. So yeah, LA, all I can say is, while I don't mind Damian Priest winning the big Money in the Bank briefcase, I hope they don't fumble the bag on LA Knight. I hope they don't pull a Zack Ryder on this guy. And to all my younglings, if that's the word, to all the young people who just don't understand, Zack Ryder was mega over, to the point where when The Rock was on Survivor Series 2011, they were chanting Zack Ryder's name on top of The Rock. He was overshadowed by Zack Ryder chants. That's how over the guy was. And they fumbled the bag on him. And I hope WWE doesn't do that on LA Knight, because that guy is mega over. You know, he has the Stone Cold pop. You know what I mean? Anytime he shows up, which is funny, because speaking of which, I saw an interview where Kevin Nash was like, you know, LA Knight is basically a carbon copy of The Rock and Steve Austin, why is it that a bad thing? You know what I mean? There's no such thing as originality, but there's nothing wrong with being inspired by something. So the fact that LA Knight is inspired by The Rock and Steve Austin, there's nothing wrong with that. The fact that he's inspired by those characters and made it into him is amazing. And the fact that Kevin Nash saw it as a bad thing, I don't see it as a bad thing. You know, it's just, to me, it's like he was inspired by something and he just made it into something his own. You know what I mean? And to all the fans who was just mad at him for that exact same reason, you can tell that y'all motherfuckers have never been inspired by anything to create anything in your life, because this is a great example of somebody who's inspired by something and made it into his own. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, who does that? It's only Alien Knight, you know? But yeah, I'm hoping that they don't fumble the bag on LA Knight, because I think Triple H said it on a press conference that good things will happen to him. I'm hoping that the good things happen quickly, because the last thing that it ever the last thing you want to see is LA Knight being Zack Ryder'd, if that makes any sense. Because, man, god damn it, Zack Ryder was not the same since 2012 with that storyline with John Cena and Kane and all that. God damn it. Please shoot the rocket as fast as possible. Strike where the iron is hot. So another thing I want to talk about on that show, I mean, the wrestling was great too, but also speaking of Damian Priest, that tension between him and Finn Balor and the Judgment Day stable. Seems to me we're getting some, I don't know about you, I ain't no detective, but I sense a split between all four Judgment Day members, which is kind of sad in my opinion, because ever since Triple H took over, I think that group has kind of enhanced. The group has been enhanced tremendously since Triple H took over as creator, because I remember when Finn Balor joined the Judgment Day and took out Edge, basically, who was his former leader, who was their former leader. They didn't do anything with that stable. Not only that, they didn't even explain why Finn Balor became the guy in the Judgment Day stable. They haven't done anything towards that stable until Triple H took over and said, let's just do something with them. You know, and so yeah, that Judgment Day stable has been great. I wish they could last it for another few years at least, but I do see a tension between, you know, the typical storylines whenever you see a group together, you see them kind of splitting up, whether it's on television or off television. So I'm hoping they last the storyline for a little bit longer, in my opinion. But so yeah, as mentioned earlier, I'm hoping that that stable just lasts for a little bit longer, just because they're doing such great work, especially Dominic Mysterio. I know some people are like, yo, Dominic Mysterio is kind of bland. Look, the guy is a kid. Let the guy improve. I've seen some people also compare him to MJF. Look, MJF and Dominic Mysterio are two. MJF is not even on his league. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because you got to let people have. You got to people hone in into their craft. And I think, in my opinion, comparing to those two personas is, in my opinion, unfair. Because, yeah, MJF is way more talented than him. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, him just slowly having a character development, because right now he's been with the company for 3 years, which in wrestling term, in my opinion, that's not a long time. So just let the guy hone his craft, let the guy hone his character. Well, not 3 years if you count him being a kid, that's Eddie Guerrero storyline, but I'm talking about him as a performer, not him as, you know, the dominant character, because we've seen the character before. So yeah, just let the guy hone his character, you feel me? But yeah, like I said earlier, just I want that stable to last a little bit longer, because I'm enjoying it. But, you know, it is what it is. Hoping they got a plan for him, because, you know, unlike the Vince McMahon era, I trust Triple H and I trust what he's going to do next. Let's talk about that heel turn between Shayna Baszler, quote-unquote heel turn on Ronda Rousey, because the crowd went crazy. Not the crowd went crazy, but they were like, oh yeah, I like to see that heel turn. I was going to do like an LA Knight theme song, but Shayna Baszler's heel turn. But yeah, hit that 5 stars if you like that weird but yet very interesting and creative transition. So hit that 5 stars for that. But that heel turn kind of made me have a retrospective on Ronda Rousey's career so far, because her career in 2018 was great. That mixed tag team match with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, Kurt Angle was great. Her getting that big put, her match with Nia Jax was by far Nia Jax's best match ever. Like, all Nia Jax matches have always been eh, but the fact that she had probably her best match with Ronda Rousey, it was wild, because I remember going to this match like, what is this? Like, what the hell was that? But then she just delivered, and you saw Ronda Rousey, you know, just literally having, just performing in the level that you would think you would see like a 15-year veteran would perform. That's how great she was. Then her Raw Women's title win at SummerSlam was great. She was doing great work, at least on the wrestling side. Her microphone was not the greatest, but honestly, the thing that I liked about her run in 2018 was that she didn't speak much, and the time that she spoke when she needed to. And but then the 2019 feud with Becky Lynch hit, and then the Charlotte Flair match, which, by the way, I still defend that triple threat WrestleMania match was still pretty decent. I'm still gonna defend it. It was a very, very good match in my opinion. Then she took like a year and a, like 3-4 year off, and she came back, and I feel like she wasn't the same since. To be fair, Ronda Rousey not being the same as she was all the way back in 2018 was also the fact that the women's division right now is very, very doo-doo caca. You know what I mean? It's really bad. And I think she had to work in a division that's not very good. And that's basically on to Triple H, because that is probably his weakness. And I think that's what everybody would tell you who's a wrestling fan and watches every single week, is the women's division. So she had to work in a division that's not as good as once, like in 2018, you know what I mean? Like 2018, 2019, at least the women's division was getting a little bit more priority. Which, by the way, speaking of which, that Monday Night Raw episode where they gave like the women's division some time with that gauntlet match, that is a step in the right direction. I want to see more of that. And honestly, and I think he's probably seeing the criticism, probably taken to the heart, saying, you know, let's just work on the women's tag team division. Which, by the way, I've said this on a few podcast episodes, but I'm going to say it again. Triple H should do a Mae Young Classic, but for the women's tag team titles. If they really want to make this championship, this women's championship seriously, they got to do a women's tag team tournament inside of the Mae Young Classic. You know what I mean? They could just do that and bring a bigger prestige and bigger priority in the women's division. Instead of like having two singles wrestlers and just put them into a tag team, which they've been doing it since the inception in 2019. So I hope they don't do that, and I hope they could just do the Mae Young Classic thing, but with the women's tag team, wrestling in general. But I don't think that's ever gonna happen. But that's something, that's my plan on how they could enhance that division, in my opinion. But yeah, going back to Ronda Rousey, the rumors of her going away is, I mean, it's imminent. I mean, that sudden breakup with Shayna Baszler does suggest that the rumors are true. At least based on me observing as a television look, I don't know. I haven't read the Fightful reports, Fightful that I trust, Fightful.com, Fightful Select. I don't think they've reported on that. At least I haven't seen it yet. But like I said earlier, I do think, based on that sudden breakup, because they said in an interview that they want to put a priority in the women's tag team division. So the fact they just had a sudden breakup is very sudden. They had a sudden breakup, goes to show that Ronda Rousey might be on the out. And do I think she's going to go back to UFC? I don't know. I'm not a big UFC fan, but the fact that she got her ass kicked by Holly Holm at that 2016-2015 UFC, whenever that UFC pay-per-view goes through, that she's probably going to just be out of that MMA sphere for at least for a very long time. Just stay retired. If that was just be my speculation. But yeah, that's the other thing I could think of, the highlights I could talk about Money in the Bank. Oh yeah, obviously the main event, Jey Uso pinning Roman Reigns, which I'm flabbergasted because it's just a great, great match. Not only a great match, it started off slow, but it picked up very, very nicely, in my opinion. And yeah, which suggests that Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, for the Undisputed title at SummerSlam, which means this the storyline goes full circle. It started with Jey Uso, and it's probably going to end with Jey Uso, and I like that. And I really, really like that, which kind of bothers me as well, because I feel like that storyline doesn't need the title, which also kind of confirms that Cody Rhodes should have won that title at WrestleMania. Like, he doesn't need that belt. He doesn't need that belt. Fuck. I mean, the person who doesn't need is Roman Reigns. So, yeah. Jey Uso, Roman Reigns for that title that goes, again, full circle at SummerSlam 2023. I'm on board. Let's go. Peak Fiction, to quote Martin Scorsese again, this is cinema. So, yeah, that's the only thing I could talk about in the month of July so far. Let's just get into the honorable mentions, shall we? And we will go a month earlier, which was Gunther versus Kevin Owens on the June 5th episode of Monday Night Raw. I mean, that was a great match, obviously. I mean, Gunther has been killing it so far. Oh yeah, speaking of Gunther, that his upcoming feud with Drew McIntyre, I hope this is one of those things where I feel the exact opposite when it comes to Roman Reigns having the title, in the sense that I hope Gunther breaks the Honky Tonk Man's record. I think he could break it if he had that title if he lasts that title till September and beyond. So I'm hoping he doesn't lose to Drew McIntyre for the IC title championship, and I hope he gets to keep it, because the last thing I want him to have is just to lose the championship to Drew McIntyre, who he already beat at WrestleMania, obviously in a triple threat scenario, but still. I do think that I don't think Gunther should have. I think he should just keep the title to, like, at least till, you know, the Honky Tonk Man's record. You know, I think it's in September, I think, right? Like I said earlier, maybe I could be wrong. Whatever. It is what it is. Yeah, that match with Kevin Owens was great, and it goes and it just adds into the lineage of his championship, and it's probably the best IC title reign since The Miz in 2016. Can we all agree on that? 2016, 2017-ish. Probably the best title reign ever, in my opinion. Not ever, but like at least in a decade. So it is what it is. Speaking of June 5th, we're going to go 10 days later, which is the June 15th episode of AEW Dynamite, which had the matches of the return of Sammy Guevara, the Blackpool Combat Club versus Hangman Page of the Young Bucks, MJF versus Adam Cole, Tony Storm versus, I believe it was, yeah, it was Sky Blue, which, by the way, watch out. She's going to be the next hit. I'm telling you right now. Her and Billy Starks, they're going to be the we're going to be talking about a lot. We're going to be talking about a lot more about these women within the next 5 to 10 years, in my opinion. So watch out on them. Really enjoyed this episode. AEW Dynamite has been killing it, in my opinion. I don't know, is it probably because AEW Collision was coming up by that point, which we'll be talking about that in a little bit, probably. But yeah, the AEW Dynamite, especially since after Revolution, they've been just killing it. Just A-star level of storytelling in that episode, in my opinion. Obviously, the wrestling in AEW Dynamites have always been great. I mean, AEW in general, better than WWE, but especially this episode, especially, has been really, really great. And it goes to show you that AEW is, in my opinion, they're coming back. They're coming back and coming back better than ever, which we'll be talking about a little bit with AEW Collision. And yeah, and speaking of MJF versus Adam Cole, it was not only a great match, but I'm also loving this. I'm loving how MJF's babyface run so far. I mean, quote unquote, his babyface run so far. He's just doing every single babyface trope that we've seen a million times. Instead, he's honing out into this persona, and I think it's amazing. The fact that he's just basically being a parody of what a babyface should be, of babyface, what we've seen in the babyface run for many, many years, I think it's not only hilarious, but I think it adds a dimension to his character. Unfortunately, I do see a heel turn between him and Adam. I do think he's gonna turn on Adam Cole. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, no shit, Sherlock. But yeah, we're gonna see that turn anytime. Or, because we know the history of that person, we could see Adam Cole turn on MJF. Because we've seen that before, in especially in NXT, when he turned on the Undisputed Era and just broke up the entire stable. We could see that happening. We could see that happen. I'm just saying. We could see that happen. It's either MJF. I think the more predictable choice is MJF. But if they want to go in the quote-unquote unpredictable route, I think Adam Cole is going to be the one who's going to turn on MJF. I think that could be the thing that he could... he could be the person that could turn on MJF if they want to keep it the unpredictable route. But also the predictable route, if you've been watching WWE NXT for the past several years by this point, right? So yeah, honorable mention number two is not even a WWE AW thing, which is wild, because again, I've always said I'm a mainstream WWE shill. Let's talk about a new wrestler in the independent scene that I've seen clips for the past year and a half. And his name is Santana Jackson. And that dude is amazing. And the reason being is because his gimmick, and somebody that I'm going to talk about in a little bit, is Santana Jackson. I think that he's basically an MJF. He's basically an MJF persona, impersonator, just being in the independent scene. I think he's a perfect character for the independent scene. I don't think he's going to do an AW or WWE because he's going to be sued to fucking death because, you know, it's MJF. It's MJ and his likeness. So of course, that's not going to happen. But in the independent scene, I think it's perfect. Look, I'm just going to say, New Japan, I know you're probably going to get sued over this, but just... come on, Kazuchika Okada versus MJF. Not MJF. They already had that match before. Kazuchika Okada versus Santana Jackson. I'm just saying. Can you imagine? You know the clothesline, and then he does the moonwalking elbow or something. That should be fucking great. Like just Shimon, bah! You know what I mean? That should be fire, bro. I'm just saying. Dave Meltzer would give this match 6 stars. I'm gonna give that match 20 stars, you know what I mean? I'll break Dave Meltzer's record just to see that match. Santana Jackson versus Kazuchika Okada, that MJ impersonator. That Shimon, let's freaking go. Honorable mention number four is a segment that happened last month, obviously. And that was the Usos crumbling the bloodline. Basically, Jey Uso, you would think Jey Uso was gonna turn on his brother Jimmy, but then he was like, well, guess what, I am out too, and just kicked Roman Reigns' head off, which is something that you could see that Jey Uso wanted to kick Roman Reigns' head off for quite some time. You can tell that this man, and anybody could tell that he wanted to do this for quite some time now, but because he's like, oh, Roman's just too powerful, I couldn't do it anymore. But I feel like that Sami Zayn heel turn and that friendship he had kind of catalyst for him to turn on Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, his brother, and be like, you know, I'm just going to be with my brothers now, which led to his great match between him and Roman Reigns for add Money in the Bank, the Bloodline Civil War. Yeah, like I said earlier, I do think we're gonna see a match between Jey Uso and Roman Reigns again. The cycle goes full circle. It goes full circle. The storyline started with Jey Uso. It's gonna end with Jey Uso. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful end to that storyline. Which, do I think Jey Uso is gonna win? Hopefully, yes. And this could also lead maybe to a Damian Priest cash in. Who knows? Probably, who knows, maybe not. We'll see what happens. Which, by the way, I think it goes to show you how good this storyline was, because you would not think Jey Uso, if you told me like 5 years ago, oh yeah, Jey Uso is going to be in the main event of SummerSlam, he's going to be in the championship, like major world title opportunity, I was like, no, like he's a great tag team guy, but I never saw him as that main event guy. And I think that storyline proves to you that he is a great, not only tag team wrestler, but a great main event guy as well, a great singles guy too. So I think that injury that Jimmy Uso had, and I think the fact that Jey Uso being a solo act goes to show you that it was probably the best thing that's ever happened to not only him, but the entire storyline, and also Roman Reigns, and also to us as a viewer, because we get to watch fucking greatness and we get to watch fucking peak fiction and get to watch fucking cinema. So yeah. So that's the, oh yeah, we got a, I got the last honorable mention. I forgot. I thought this was the last honorable mention. But speaking of performers in the independent scene that's impersonating other personas, it is Blue Kane, Sub Kane, as I like to call him. If Scorpion was the Red Kane, then Sub-Zero would be Blue Kane. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know, like, if this was WWE canon, this is probably, like, Imposter Kane coming back to be as Blue Kane. Because I think that, I saw this, look, the reason why I said this in my own dimension, because I thought this shit was hilarious. And the reason why I thought it was hilarious is because it's Blue Kane. And it makes you think whether, like I said earlier, if this is Imposter Kane impersonating as Kane, but in a blue fashion. So, yeah, I thought that was just a great gimmick and a great thing. And like I said earlier, this is a gimmick that perfectly fits the independent scene and not so much so on the major shows. And the major shows, I mean WWE and AEW. So, yeah. Let's talk about some of the best things of pro wrestling that happened in the month of June. And it's only been two that I liked the most. And one of them is an actual show and one of them is a character. But let's just talk about the best things about pro wrestling the month of June. And that is the Gun Club. So these were guys that I didn't even think of. Honestly, I thought of them as jabronis, as The Rock would say. But goddamn, especially this past year, yo, they have put entrance, that 50 Cent Mini Men entrance, the them being tag team titles, the fact that, talk about a complete 180. Ever since they turned on their dad, Billy Gunn, the one Billy Gunn, the ass Billy Gunn, the smoking one half of the tag team, you know, one half of the smoking guns with Bart Gunn. Ever since they turned on his dad, they've been great, goated. And to me, I would go as far as to say, if we think about the 2020s and we think about the retrospective of this decade, I think we'll be talking about the Gun Club. Because I think that that major, you know, to quote the famous tech reviewer Flossie Carter, these wrestlers are a major go. Because we could be talking about these dudes within the next year, within the next 2 years, within the next 3 years, within the next 4 years, within the next decade. Because I think they're probably the best things about pro wrestling the month of June, because they've just made a complete 180 to the point where, like, I went from, like, saying, like, who the hell are these guys to, they're my favorite tag team. Probably my favorite tag team right now. And it's wild, too, because they're probably one of my favorite tag team, other than FTR, because I'm biased towards Forever the Revival. I love those dudes so much. But the Gun Club, I'm telling you right now, within the next 5 years, within the next 10 years, we could be talking about them. And we could be talking about them a lot. And I think, and this is just that, this is just them getting started. I think within the next year, two, 3 years, they could be probably one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And I could see them going to WWE at some point if they want to, but I mean, given the fact that WWE hasn't put priority on the men's tag team division, I don't see that happening. But if WWE wants to, you know, rebuild that division and make it as big as it is, I think they should be looking out at that contract. See, when's that contract expiring so that I could be signing those folks? You feel me? So yeah, I think the Gun Club is probably the best thing about pro wrestling. Not in the month of June, but in the month of May, in my opinion. They've been just a complete 180. So, yeah, watch out for these guys. And I'm telling you right now, future tag team Hall of Fame, in my opinion. The second and the last best things about pro wrestling this month, in the month of June, is the new AEW show that came on TNT. Every Saturday, where I live in my neck of the woods, Sunday morning, it's AEW Collision. I'm loving this show. Now, here's the thing. I've said the same thing about AEW Rampage. And I said the same thing about AEW Rampage, and look at how that show is. It's not the show that it used to be, in my opinion. But yeah, AEW Collision is not only a great show, but it is a great show that could solve. It is the great show that could be that solves the problem that this company has had for quite some time, which is their bloated ass roster. Their so bloated roster that could that makes my stomach hurt after eating, you know, a bag of McDonald's. You know what I mean? Shout out to a quarter pounder with cheese. But yeah, this show literally solves their bloated roster issue, and it is also the show that AEW needs, which is wild to say that this company, a company that has too many rosters that needs a lot of content. Guess what? You guys need a lot of content. And do I see them do a soft, you know, brand split? Absolutely. But I also could see them just, you know, at some point just embrace the brand split, just, you know, AEW Collision, AEW Dynamite, and I don't know about what Rampage is gonna be. I think Rampage is gonna be the WWE's main superstars. Remember, they had superstars in the main event. I think they could be like their version of superstars or something. But AEW Collision, I'm telling you right now, it is the show that AEW not only needs, but also something that solves the issue that they had for quite some time, which is their bloated ass roster. Let's talk about that CM Punk promo he had when he came back. Obviously, he was cheered because the first show took place in Chicago. And obviously, you know, it's the hometown boy. They got to cheer him on that. But then he went to Canada a few weeks later and he just got just booed out of the oblivion. But, you know, it is the Canadian crowd. It is the bizarro world, as Jerry Lawler said back in SummerSlam 2004 when Edge, when SummerSlam took place in Toronto, and Edge literally got booed out of the fucking building despite the fact that he was on their hometown. He was in his hometown, you know what I mean? And he got booed the hell out of that building, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, I'm loving the presentation. I'm loving Andrade El Idolo has been getting more utilized a lot lately. Loving that. His match with Buddy Matthews, aka Buddy Murphy. Great match after that promo with CM Punk. Just overall, it is a great show. And it's literally the show that AEW not only needs that solves the bloated roster issue, but it's also a great show in general because the presentation, the commentary between Nigel McGuinness and Kevin Kelly, which, by the way, WWE, why you let that man go? I think that dude is amazing. Why did you let that guy go? And by the way, speaking of commentary, look, I'm loving Kevin Patrick, but I think he's a good backstage interviewer and not a main roster comment, because I feel like Corey Graves did more of the play-by-play than with Kevin Patrick, because I don't think Kevin Patrick is good in that role, but I think he's great as a backstage interviewer. And speaking, and if they want to solve that issue, come on, Triple H, and come on, you're the creative guy, bring back my man Mauro Ranallo, bring my man Mamma Mia Senorita, you know what I mean? Like, bring that guy back in on the commentary team, because that Raw commentary team, I mean, Corey Graves is great at what he does, but I think Kevin Patrick is good as a backstage interviewer. So yeah, bring back my man Mauro Ranallo. So yeah, anyways, yeah, the presentation is great between Nigel McGuinness, Kevin Kelly, and the theme song, the Elgin John one, get some used to, because I've been more of the like the hardcore rock or the rap kind of scene in when it comes to main roster theme songs, especially rock, you know, especially with Monday Night Raws and SmackDowns and their theme songs over the years, because I've been a fan since 07. So ever since that, we had like a lot more rock and metal and rap hip-hop kind of intros. So the fact that we're seeing a complete shift to that intro with an Elton John theme, with an Elton John song, makes me wanna think, like, yeah, that's, you could get used to it, you know. That's probably my a little weakness, I guess, but that's just me nitpicking. But yeah, AEW Collision, I'm enjoying it so far. Screw the ratings, all these ratings. This show's a failure, because, you know, if 400,000 people, 500,000 people watching, bro, like, this is a failure. Look, the ratings haven't been, ratings in general have been down across television, other than sports, in like 20 years. Okay, 20 years ago, the numbers that Monday Night Raw is getting would have got them canceled in like within the first five episodes, not even the first season, the first five episodes, like two million. Yeah, get the hell out of here, because an average viewership was like around 12 million 10 million, you know what I mean, especially back in the day. Because I remember the spin-off show, the Friends, Joey or something, I remember their ratings was like around like 10-12 million, and that was considered the average viewership at that time. This we're going back like 2005 2006 2007. So yeah, like the ratings haven't been the same since like in like 15-20 years. So just, you know, stop with the rating talk. Even 20, even like almost 9 years ago, Monday Night Raw was like at 4-5 million. So yeah, I'm just saying, like, the ratings haven't been the same since. So screw with that rating talk, because at the end of the day, rating, the only people that should be caring about ratings is, number one, network executives and advertisers. And that's it. It is not us. There's so many great movies that have flopped in the box office. That doesn't mean those movies are great. And that's the same thing. Just because the shows itself get, like, low ratings, that doesn't mean that show isn't good. And in my opinion, Collision is a good, not only a good show, but a great show. Sorry for that rant. I know it's the best things about pro wrestling this month, but this is probably the third toxic rant about that I had this year. You might as well call it the worst thing about pro wrestling this month. If there's one worst thing about pro wrestling this month, in the month of June, is probably the ratings discourse between the AEW Collision, because that shit is fucking annoying as shit. It's like, bro, just enjoy it. There's probably a movie that you like I said earlier, there's probably a movie that you like, okay, that has like that flopped in the box office, okay, like, shut the fuck up, okay, it is what it is. So yeah, there you go, that's the show that I have for this month. I hope you guys enjoyed, and if you did, hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, hit that 5 stars on Spotify. Truly appreciate it. I want to get that at least to like a few of the, we have a few of them so far, let's just hit the 5, you know what I mean. To quote Biggie Langston, once again, I don't need 3, I need at least 5, at least for this year. And if it doesn't happen, your goals are always transfer to this year, next year. If your goals doesn't happen this year, there's always a next year. So yeah, follow me on Twitter. We'll see what happens between the next few months, because that site might be imploding by now. But just in case the site is still alive, you know, to quote that BG song, you know, follow me on Twitter. I'm the player guy. Follow me all on the social medias, which is best things about pro wrestling this month. Just follow me on there. Follow me on the YouTube, by the way. Speaking of YouTube, we're almost at 100 subscribers on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button, please. We gotta get to this year. Let's freaking go. We're almost at 100 subs. I'm so excited. Follow me on even TikTok. I'm at 100 followers right now. The Facebook page is at 100 followers. Combined, we're like almost 300-400 followers, and like over 100,000. You know, total listeners across like 3 social medias, which is insane. So yeah, thank you guys so much. Just follow me on the social medias. Follow me on Twitter at Arm of the Player Guy. Also, I have a Blue Sky account, in case you guys have a Blue Sky account. It's at Arm of the Player Guy, but with a 1. So yeah, I don't know how to end this show other than we out.